Circus and meet Santa in Sheen Satira's Wonderland. Book now at SheenSatira.com.
A wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk about on Radio Kerry.
Medical Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee. Celebrating 200 years of the Bon Secours mission.
Dr. Eamon Shanahan is here in studio with me. Eamon, you're welcome. And I know that before we get down to business, you just want to...
Just very quickly to add my condolences and sincere condolences to Jim's family and children. A sore loss to Tralee.
Yeah, and you would have met him a few times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Lovely man. A gentleman to the fingertips.
A lovely, lovely man. Absolutely. Now, Eamon, we're going to talk a little bit about bladder problems
indeed
this week. And just explain to the listeners what I do in terms of deciding a topic for AIM, and we mostly do general queries, but I kind of have a general look through the kind of questions that are coming in. And we do get a lot of questions from people, a lot of older people particularly, both male and female, about getting up during the night to go to the loo, all that type of thing. Yeah. And I thought we might talk about that.
Absolutely.
Can I just begin by saying, as you get older, is it inevitable that your bladder will work less well?
Yeah, unfortunately for men and women, you will see it more commonly. I was looking at the statistics before I came in. The reckoning is that at least one out of every two and a half the women in the world will get urinary tract infection at some stage in their life, and 30 to 40% of women will have recurring urinary tract infections. That for men under the age of 50, it tends to be uncommon, but that after that age, it rapidly gets much, much more common. Now, part of it is down to the changes in our anatomy as we get older, but for men and for women, I'll explain these terms in a minute. For men, it's prostate-related issues. For women, one of the biggest problems is a thing called atrophic vaginitis, and I'll explain about that. But yes, it's fair to say now, having said that, it is more common. There are things that people can do to try to help minimise the risk of urinary tract infection and try and keep the darn thing at bay.
What kind of things can you do?
pray tell, says you. All right. I think one of the things, and you know that we've had Miss Deirdre Fanning on the programme with us a couple of times, and I know Deirdre has a particular interest in the subject. And I know one of the things that she's particularly keen on is telling people to avoid caffeinated drinks and carbonated drinks. So think of all the fizzy drinks, think of all the coffees and teas and things like that. One of the bigger problems is if you've got somebody who is frequency during the daytime, frequency meaning literally going to the toilet more often by day, that's one problem. But if you have to get out at night 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times at night, that's more than tiresome. That's
disturbed
sleep and all the rest of it. So is that one of the things she would be suggesting, is that particularly coming up to like from maybe tea time onwards, so 6 o'clock onwards, you would reduce, maybe not necessarily reduce your fluid intake completely, but that you'd avoid those things that can aggravate it. Practical things for women, cleaning from front to back. Again, for women, voiding as soon as possible after intercourse can be helpful. Cranberry juice is still a great thing, and you can get the cranberry juice capsules. There's something about it that seems to minimise the recurrence or the presence of urinary tract infections. For men, it's more a question of emptying the bladder, and for both men and women, when you get the urge, go, don't be holding on to it. The reason, the rationale I think for that is that if you are holding on to it, it tends to stretch the bladder wall, makes the bladder wall inflamed, and then makes you more prone to developing cystitis. Beyond that, you're looking at, again, for women, I mentioned this thing called atrophic vaginitis. So this is a postmenopausal thing. So after the change when the levels of estrogen fall in the body, one of the tissues in a woman that are sensitive to estrogen would be all the tissues of the vulva, the vagina and the vulva. And the thing is that with the falling levels of estrogen, the outside can get dry, and it makes it easier for infection to get up inside. So as that local estrogen therapy, there's creams and pellets you can use to supply estrogen locally, which is not HRT, but can be taken with HRT, can be dramatically effective. And certainly over the years, what I've seen, many older women for whom taking or using this particular treatment was like a complete life changer in terms of their symptoms. For men, the issue tends to be more related to the enlargement of the prostate gland. But if you're going very often, there is also medication your GP can prescribe for you that'll help reduce the irritability of the bladder, reduce the size of the prostate and help minimise your symptoms that way.
This might be a funny question, Eamon, but can you, to an extent, train your bladder? Because, you know, do you absolutely have to empty it every time you feel the urge
to
empty it?
Absolutely. And I think you've hit the nail on the head, because they, broadly speaking, talk about so-called urgent stress incontinence. Now, I believe that those terms are now considered a bit passé and a bit old-fashioned, but they are useful because they do describe the two scenarios. So the incontinence bit of it is where the urine comes away and voluntarily you don't have control of the urine. Probably more frequently, I've got the problem that they've actually said the word frequency. In other words, not just that you want to go, but you got to go now. You don't have any choice. And there are some individuals who have this overactive bladder, and for them, they get any bit of urine in the bladder, and they've got to go straight away. Now, I think there was a vogue at one stage of trying to help people to void by the clock. In other words, you'd go every hour, and then you'd go every hour and a half, and then you'd go every 2 hours. In other words, that you gradually extend the intervals, trying to suppress the urges to want to go. Today, I think what we'd be inclined to do is look at, are there environmental factors that would be causing it? In other words, is it to do with your diet, or the other one are very tight underclothes and things like that? Or is it something you treat with medication? The other kind then is the stress incontinence bit of it. And unfortunately, again, this is a problem more for women than for men. Particularly following childbirth, there can be issues with the urinary channels. And so if the woman coughs or sneezes, that a bit of urine comes away. And then you get the mixed picture of both urge and stress. So yeah, for some people, it is possible. But my sense and the feeling I have is that over the years, this has become less a thing, that it's more now we treat it medically rather than trying to train the person, if you like.
And what about exercise? Things like pelvic floor exercises?
Yes, hugely important. Yeah, hugely important. Absolutely right. And again, that's one of the reasons why every woman should be receiving instruction. Every woman who's had a vaginal birth will and should, and even women who have had cesarean sections, should be receiving some instruction, particularly if there's been any, if the labour has been particularly long or hard, because tissues get stretched and you want to bring things back. And I'm aware of the fact that there are, certainly in the general hospital, there are a number of specialist gynecological physiotherapists who will aid women with this particular issue. Mm.
I'm conscious we've spoken a lot about women, men and their bladder issues.
Yeah.
Can a lot of conditions, we'll say, that present themselves as bladder problems actually be prostate problems for men?
And there's a significant overlap between the two of them. What you have to understand is that the prostate gland, for which there's no analogous organ in women, sits below the bladder. It literally is right underneath the bladder. And as we all get older, as men get older, inevitably the prostate gets bigger. It's just a fact of life. The issue is that as it gets bigger, it pushes up into the base of the bladder. If you're thinking of this in three dimensions, and you could see as it swells outwards, it's pushing up into the base of the bladder. The problem is that where it pushes into the base of the bladder is a part of the bladder called the trigone. It's a triangular piece of tissue in the base of the bladder for men and for women, which is the bit that when it gets stretched gives us the urge to want to go. So if you've got the prostate gland pushing into this, it'll give the man the urge to want to go. And that's the reason why I'm saying there's medication that we can prescribe for the man if he wants it, that'll help shrink down the bladder, take the urge away, so that the man will go back to passing urine at reasonable intervals.
So if a man suddenly starts urinating more frequently than he should,
what should you do? Yeah, the answer is to your GP. That it's okay. If you've got the kind of scenario where over a number of years the man finds that he is going to the toilet more often, or that he's finding that where he used to never have to go to the toilet at night and now he's having to go once and then twice and three times at night, and if this is happening over a long period of time, that's probably down to the underlying anatomical changes. But if it's something that's happened suddenly, and both for men and for women, if ever you see blood in the urine, absolutely definitely arrange to see your GP urgently, because it indicates there's something else going on that will need to be appropriately investigated.
Fair enough. Eamon, we'll take a break, but I just want to, we have some questions already, but I just want to remind the listeners, Eamon is talking today specifically about issues to do with the bladder, urinary problems for both men and women. So if you are going too often or not going often enough or getting recurrent urinary tract infections, anything like anything like that, if you have a question in that whole area, please send it in to us. And there's several ways of getting in touch. I'll give you the more common ways. As usual, of course, the text and WhatsApp number is 083 300 3300, but you can also phone Dervla, who's on the phones today, on 066 712 3666.
Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 200 years of the Bon Secours mission.
You're welcome back. We are chatting to Dr. Eamon Shanahan, and this week we're talking about bladder problems on our medical slot. And Eamon, we've a question in for you from a gentleman in his 50s. He says, my problem is in the morning, the minute I wake up, I need to go to the toilet immediately. Plus, my flow is not great as well. I had my prostate checked and all is fine, but could you recommend something I could take?
Yeah. You see, the difficulty here, and it's a subject that I need to be dealt with sensitively. Part of the issue is when you said you had your prostate checked, I suspect you mean that you had a thing called a PSA carried out, the prostate-specific antigen blood test carried out, and your GP was probably saying to you that the figure is okay. The PSA is not an exact test. It tells us whether or not there's activity in the prostate gland, and it only tells us that. As we get older, as the prostate gland gets bigger, the levels of the PSA will rise, but there's not a direct correlation between the two. And it sounds very much like to me that this man in his mid-50s, and it does happen, is already beginning to get that enlargement of the prostate gland as we get older. Sounds yucky, but the only way to be absolutely certain is somebody has to put a finger in the prostate gland and they'll feel the size of the prostate gland. And if the prostate gland is, as I suspect, enlarged, then there's medication you can take. You could use a cranberry juice if you wanted to, but I suspect if you're beginning to run into these symptoms and if they're causing your life issues of quality of life, then you're probably benefit from going on the medication sooner rather than later.
Now, this next question is, I'm not sure if it's from a male or a female, but I have a feeling it's from a female who's asking, who says, I'm going to the bathroom at night every 2 hours. What should I do?
Yeah, again, this goes back to, and we don't have an age either. The part of the issue there is, as I said, the quality of life stuff is really important in this. There is the problem of the overactive bladder. There's all sorts of things that go on as we get older. Normally the urine is sterile. There are no bacteria in the urine. But as we get older, we can get bacteria in the urine. And that doesn't necessarily mean to say that we have a cystitis or an inflammation of the bladder. So what's happening here is something is causing an irritation to the bladder. And probably the best thing to do is make an appointment to your GP. What they'll do is they'll ask you the series of appropriate questions to try to isolate why it is that your bladder is overactive, and then see if there are lifestyle measures you can take that would help correct that, or indeed, is there some treatment that you might need to try to help resolve this?
Now, this next one isn't about urinary problems, but it's in that area, shall we say. A 50-year-old woman says, do I need to worry when there's blood after cleaning myself when...
Passing urine?
No.
No, passing the bowels, yeah. And the answer is yes and no. Blood from any part of the body should be noted. By far and away, the most common thing, but we need to be careful, by far and away, the most common reason you get bleeding from the back passage would be due to hemorrhoids. And unfortunately, there's epidemic in Western society because of our diet and all the rest of it. But you can't presume that it is actually coming from hemorrhoids. One of the questions you'd be asking is, what colour is the blood? Now, that sounds like a strange question, but the reason I ask is that if it's bright red blood, it means it's coming from directly in the back passage itself.
It's probably a hemorrhoid.
Yeah, whereas if it's darker, and if it's probably coming from somewhere further up along the gut. If you've got bright red bleeding that happens, and if it happens only when you're hypersensitive, probably is hemorrhoids, but if there's any doubt whatsoever, go and talk to your GP to get it checked out.
Okay. And again, you were saying it's the blight of the Western diet
isn't it?
Is it because people strain too much?
Exactly. That's it. We get small, hard motions which don't come easily, and we're straining. We're literally turning the inside of the back passage out, and that pushes out these the hemorrhoids. One of the things, interestingly, I got documentation yesterday, the bowel screen program is now going down. Let me get this right. It's now going down to age
58. We actually did a piece on it earlier in the week. Which is a good thing that it's coming down.
And so it's 58. Now, you see, the point is that this person, be they male or female, I think it was female.
It was a woman.
They're in their mid-50s. They're beginning to move into the age group where there is the possibility of a bowel cancer. Hence the reason why you just can't take a chance.
You can't ignore it, exactly. Next person is a woman in her 70s. She says, Eamon, sometimes when I'm passing urine, I get a piercing sensation down below.
Yeah.
What could that be?
Yeah, and okay. So again, by far and away, the most likely thing is that it's this condition, as I said before, called atrophic vaginitis. So how do you work out whether you've got this condition or not? Go and talk to your GP. Let them have a look down below, because they'll be able to see what the state of the tissues are down there. And again, I'm like a bit of a stuck record on this one, the use of topical estrogen therapy in that part of the anatomy can be dramatically effective. The problem is the skin is dry, it gets cracked, and literally when the urine gets into the cracked skin, you know, it's like a paper cut, I should say.
Okay.
It's horrible.
A 55-year-old woman says she's waking a few times at night to use the toilet.
Yeah.
But she also has gallstones. Would that be why she's getting up at night?
No, two different things. I mean, gallstone pain is rolling around on the floor kind of pain. This issue is a different problem. I'm just trying to think, there is rarely, and it is rare, you can get kidney stones, or not kidney stones, bladder stones. You can get you can get stones in the bladder itself, but that usually manifests itself with repeated recurring urinary tract infections and blood in the urine. And the point is that if somebody does have recurring or new onset of bladder a bleeding from the bladder, you'll almost certainly end up having a procedure called a cystoscopy, which is where you're put to sleep or at least sedated, and they have a look inside. They use an endoscopic instrument to look inside the bladder and see what's going on inside, and then treat it appropriately.
Mary is in her 70s and she says, Eamon, I seem to need to empty my bladder very often after taking my daily medication for high blood pressure and underactive thyroid gland. Yeah. Is that normal?
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. This is a good example of why we need to go back and talk to a GP. There are a group of medications that are used to control blood pressure that are diuretics. They're things that make you pass more urine. There's a constant job that needs to be done in terms of tweaking people's medications. There is no doubt but that many medications are of great benefit to individuals and give them better quality and quantity of life. The problem is that there's not a medication made yet that doesn't have the potential for side effects. In the main, thyroid medications are one of the few medications that doesn't cause side effects if it's taken in the correct dose. But there are lots of other medications, especially treatment for blood pressure, that can make you go to the toilet more often. So you go back to your GP to have a chat with them to see if they can alter the ingredients you're getting to try and minimise that problem for you.
Okay, and you've often said it on the programme, with blood pressure medication, there's always a lot of tweaking, isn't
Absolutely.
There, before you get one that suits you.
Yeah.
Male caller, I had a feeling we'd have a question along these lines, says he often has a few drinks before he goes to bed.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he means alcoholic drinks.
Sure, of course.
And he says, then I have to get out of the bed to go to the toilet about three times.
Yeah, and and there's not a lot you can do for it, so it's a kind of a sad situation. Actually, even more sadly, granted it'd be people who drink fairly heavily, but I've certainly down through the years seen a number of men who, unfortunately, if they go out for a night, will be incontinent during that night, and it only happens when they've had the couple of pints. So usually the couple of pints, maybe it's about 8 pints. Do you know what I mean? It's not a glass or two, it's large quantities. And what will happen is that they're not even conscious of the fact that the urine is coming away, so they wet the bed, which is very embarrassing. It's a not uncommon problem. The difficulty is that alcohol is a diuretic. That's the reason why you pass more urine after taking alcohol. And the problem is, if you've been taking a feed of pints up to the time you go to bed, then you're going to have A, the fluid in you, and B, you're going to have something that's going to make your kidneys pass more urine, so your bladder's going to fill up and you're going to go to the toilet more often. It may be a question of timing your drinking to maybe earlier in the evening, so as that you're not going into bed with a full bladder and not having had recent alcohol.
I find myself thinking, Eamon, and I know this is kind of a bugbear of yours as well, about all the, we'll say, the Gen Zs and the millennials going on with these giant water bottles. I mean, they must be up all night.
In the loo. Yeah, if they're drinking up until, you know, the time they go to bed, of course they're going to. I mean, if you drink a litre of fluids just when you're going to bed, that litre is going to come out during the night. So, like, the thing is, and the capacity of the bladder is about 500-600 mil. So the thing is, you take a litre, then the bulk of that is actually, well, some will go out through skin, but the bulk of it going into your bladder, and you're absolutely definitely going to have to go during the night. The other problem, of course, the other concern we have is that when people are taking very large amounts of fluids like that, they're actually flushing salts out of their body.
Yeah, and you've often said that, I don't think enough people say that either. Now, we want people to be hydrated.
Absolutely.
It's important that you stay hydrated, but
not to be carrying around.
There's a happy medium.
Of course, like everything else.
Now, there's figures in this next one, but I'm sure they'll make sense to you, Eamon. It's a man aged 62 with an enlarged prostate.
Yeah.
PSA is 4.6 UG slash...
Yeah, microgram per litre.
Yeah. Should he be worried, he's wondering.
The figure in itself indicates that there's a certain amount of activity in the prostate gland. What I'd be more interested in is what have your readings been previously? If it's a single one-off reading, the general advice would be after a number of weeks, repeat the blood test to see what it is, to see what the figure is. Kind of cutoffs, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's something like over 70, it should be less than 4, or over 60, it should be less than 3, or should be less than 3. But again, it's more the trends. If somebody has had a PSA that's been gradually rising over many years, I mean, I've certainly seen people where the urologists are very happy to continue to monitor men with PSAs of 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 as long as it's rising slowly and as long as they've had their MRIs and there's no sign of an underlying prostate cancer. Because the problem is a PSA is not a cancer test. It's not a screening test for cancer. It is a test of activity of the prostate gland, and it's a useful tool, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
A lady says she's 64. She says, it looks like my bladder is prolapsing. Not all the time.
Yeah.
But should I go to my doctor or is it okay just to leave it?
Please do. I'll tell you why. The trouble is that up from time to time, and it happens to both genders, I'll see people who have bits sort of prolapsing coming out. The difficulty is that if there is part of the insides coming to the outside, it means everything else above it is being dragged down. And if part of your bladder is coming down, that probably indicates that the front wall of the vagina is being dragged down. And don't forget that the front wall of the vagina is the back wall of the bladder, which means the bladder is getting dragged down. And now the bladder is being stretched, and the tubes that bring the urine from the kidneys to the bladder are getting stretched and could get kinked and can cause back pressure into the kidneys and cause kidney problems. So absolutely, definitely, please do and make an appointment to see your GP to get this thing checked out.
46-year-old female, she says, in recent years, I find I need to go to the toilet at night, but when I go, I feel pressure and it takes a while for the flow to start. Is this a problem?
There may actually be a bit of prolapse there as well. That's the thing. The problem is that under those circumstances, what's happening is that when the lady is trying to pass the urine, that in fact part of the bladder is coming down and pulling part of the vagina with it. So absolutely, definitely, my answer again, unfortunately, is somebody, you need to go and talk to your own GP to get that checked out.
Yeah, very good. Well, listen, Eamon, we leave it there because we're out of time, but thank you for that very comprehensive rundown of bladder issues. And oh yes, I knew there was one I meant to read out to you, and bear with me one second because it was quite funny. Yes, this came in from Linda, and she says, I was so excited to hear that Dr. Eamon was going to speak about bladder issues, but I had to pull over for an emergency bathroom stop and I missed all the first segment.
Listen to the playback.
Yeah. poor Linda. She was all excited about that we were going to be talking about bladder problems. Well, Linda, just for you, we'll make sure we put this up as a podcast as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
And on that note, Eamon, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Thanks.